Colossians 3, verse 12. In verses 1 through 11, we talked about the fact that because we are resurrected with Christ, we need to get rid of some stuff. As a matter of fact, he didn't just say get rid of it, he said put it to death. And then we had a little bit of a change in verse 10, where he starts about to put on your new nature. So we're putting to death one thing, putting on. And so now look with me in verse 12. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 15 to start off. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Get that phrase right there, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So verse 5 was put to death. Then verse 10 says to put on. And so now we see in verse 12, and then we see it again in verse 14, clothe yourselves. So this morning you got up and you made the wise decision to clothe yourself before you left the house. Now, hopefully for all of us that was a given that we were going to do that, okay? But you had to make a decision what you were going to put on, right? You stood at the closet or the drawer and you said, okay, am I going to wear that? I'm not sure if I'm going to wear that. And you debated back and forth. Now, some of us, it was kind of easy. Some of you, it was a little more difficult, all right? Some of you went to two or three outfits before you decided, all right? But however it was for you, you made a purposeful decision to clothe yourself because you realized not only did you need clothes, okay, that was the given, but you also wanted to appear a certain way most of the time. Clothes define us. Don't you believe clothes define a generation? I mean, think about some of us that have lived long enough to go through a couple of them. And you go through, I mean, have you watched the people, some of you that remember this, have you watched the people wearing bell bottoms again? Some of you thought, that's never going to come back. That's never going to come back. And I know we're all praying that leisure suits never find a place ever, ever again in the world. And some of you younger ones, you'll have to Google leisure suit, all right? And so, listen, the truth is there's an appearance, there's something we want to put on display by the way we wear our clothes. Yesterday, Susan and I went to a restaurant, and this guy came in. My son-in-law, Jake, is he's a Kansas Jayhawks fan. And, of course, they played last night, and so we went to a restaurant yesterday afternoon, and this guy came in with a Kansas jersey on. He was probably about, I'm guessing, his 60s or 70s, wouldn't you say? In his 60s or 70s, he had his Kansas basketball jersey on at the restaurant. I have a feeling there was a conversation between him and his wife at some point. You're not going to wear that to the restaurant, are you? You know, but he had his Kansas basketball jersey on. He wanted to make sure everybody knew that he was who he was pulling for, that he was a Kansas fan. Think about this for just a second. What he's saying is we need to put to death the stuff that doesn't need to be on us anymore or in us, and we need to clothe ourselves so that we begin to give the appearance of Jesus, so when everybody sees us, they're like, they walk with Jesus. They walk with Jesus. So I'm going to give you this first statement. The new person in Christ has the privilege of a whole new wardrobe. When you come to Jesus, you have the privilege of a whole new wardrobe. Now, for some of us, we don't care about that, the wardrobe thing. We're like, hey, jeans and a shirt, and I'm ready to go. All right? Whereas others would be like, man, if you gave me access to a whole new wardrobe, just how incredible that would be. I walked in Diana's room yesterday. Was it yesterday? Jordan, I think it was yesterday. We walked in Diana's room and opened her closet, and there's so many clothes in her closet. Now, y'all remember, she moved. And I looked at that closet, and I'm like, and so, I know we were on a family video, whatever you call it. Yeah, and we were all talking to each other, and I opened the closet, and I'm like, Diana, did you not take any clothes with you? She goes, oh, that's barely half of what I have, Dad. And I'm like, good grief, you know? Wardrobe, whole new wardrobe. The idea I get to clothe myself in new things. Here's what he's saying. When we come to Jesus, we get access to a whole new set of clothes that we've never had access to before. Because before Christ, none of this could have ever really been present. We could have been nice, and we could have been kind, and we could have been charitable, but what he's doing here is starting from the inside out of us. And I want you to notice the things that he lists, because it gives us this brand new look. Tender-hearted mercy. As a matter of fact, if you're using the King James this morning, it says bowels of mercies. Don't you love that expression, bowels of mercies? How often do we talk in our society today about bowels unless something bad is happening, okay? But in their language, when you mention bowels, it was kind of like, say, I love you with all my heart. What we mean is the very core of me, I love you with that. And so it would change completely Valentine's if I said, I love you with all my bowels, you know? But he's saying this is this deep, deep part, everything in me. And I think this is for me, as I was studying this and I was sharing this with Susan, I think what he's talking about is empathy here. Learning to not just feel bad for somebody, but to feel what they feel. That tender-hearted mercy. I feel what you feel. Christ felt what we felt, and so now is becoming like Christ. We begin to feel what people feel and experience what people experience, and that is sincere, and that is very real. Tender-hearted mercies. And so we need to put that on. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the prodigal son, remember he goes away and he wastes everything, and it loses all his money, feeds the pigs, realizing when he's feeding the pigs, man, good grief. My father's servants at home got more than this. I mean, I'm at the bottom. I'm just going to go home and declare to him, there's no way I'm allowed to be a son anymore because look at how filthy and horrible I've been. And so I'm going to come home and I'm going to be a servant, and that'll be good enough. And you remember he practices his speech. Anybody ever practiced a speech before you had to say it to someone, especially an apology speech? And he comes in, and his father comes out, and we know the story. Father follows him, he kisses him. He says, Father, and he begins his speech. And it's like the father doesn't even hear him. And the father welcomes him home. But do you know the first thing the father does? Have you ever read it? The father gives him new clothes. He said, bring the new robe. Bring the new shoes. Bring the ring. He clothes him. That's what Paul is talking about here. When Christ comes, he changes our clothing, and so he makes us now where we can feel what people feel, this tender-hearted mercy. He talks about the kindness. The kindest people in the world should be followers of Jesus. And when I meet people that say they're followers of Jesus and are the meanest and most cantankerous people in the world, I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's not Jesus. He didn't give you those clothes. We need to put to death our anger and meanness and everything else. Kindness, humility, gentleness or meekness, where I'm able to love people where they are and I'm able to get down on their level and I'm able to understand them and see them as God sees them. Talk about long-suffering or patience. Oh, man. Patience with people. Patience with God. As a matter of fact, in just a moment, he talks about forgiveness, that we learn to forgive others as Christ forgives us. I think we need to learn to be patient with others as Christ is patient with us. We're demonstrating that, so I need to put that on, because let's be honest for a second, that's not in our natural wardrobe. Patience isn't one of our regular clothes that we like to wear. I'm not going to ask you if you're impatient, because somebody around you will bump you as soon as I say it. But patience, oh, Lord, give us patience, long-suffering. I love this, and the Bible talks about bearing with one another, and I read the translation I read this morning, said make allowance for each other's faults. That's what bearing, making allowance for each other's faults. Why is it that we as an imperfect people expect everybody around us to be perfect? We expect perfection from people when we don't really expect it from ourselves. If you haven't noticed this morning, nobody in here is perfect. As a matter of fact, we're given that all through Scripture. There's nobody righteous, not a one of us. And yet we expect perfection. Sometimes within the church, somebody comes to Christ, and we expect them the next week to know everything and be able to cross every T and dot every I just perfectly. It doesn't work that way. And so let's learn to allow for the faults of others, because I believe that leads into the next one, which is forgiveness. If we allow for the faults of others and realize people are faulty at times and that they have their frailties, then we're more apt to forgive. I'm amazed. The most amazing part of the cross to me is not that Jesus is enduring all that suffering, is that while he's enduring that suffering, what does he say? Father, forgive. Because in my suffering, and when you hurt me, I want to retaliate. That's my nature, my sinful nature. But that's part of the thing I have to put to death. Now I have to put on these new clothes, which forgive. And how do I forgive? Just as Christ forgives. Just as Christ forgives. Forgive others. But then he says this in verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Love. Because love is going to bring all of this together in harmony. Paul says it to the church at Corinth, if you don't have love, it doesn't matter what else you have. Oh, look, we fed the poor. Look, we cast out devils. Look, we did all of these things. I'm going to meddle for just a second, and I'm not going to say a name because that's just not who I am. But there's a guy right now, and he's just blowing up on the internet, and his whole ministry right now is about casting out demons and casting out devils and all of that stuff and just declaring all this stuff. But from the outside looking in, watching this most unloving person, the way he acts, the way he berates people, the way he treats people. And I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians 13. Who cares? Oh, I'm doing all these things in Jesus' name, but you don't have the love of God. And last time I checked, if you don't have the love of God and hate your brother, you're not one of his. Doesn't matter what pulpit you stand behind or don't stand behind. So love is so important. And so we need that characteristic of love. He talks about peace. That peace. He talks about thankfulness. There's 10, I broke it down to about 10 things there. These are the things that we need to put on. You're like, Pastor David, I'm still struggling with the peace one. I'm still struggling with it. That's okay. We're putting those things on. It's kind of like, y'all remember when you were, and some of you got kids in right now and you understand this. Do you remember when you're growing and you go to get new shoes? Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like they get to the point where sometimes they're going through shoes every, it's like, well, I just bought you a new pair of shoes. Well, they're too small. And we got to go buy another one. And so some of us as parents are going to save money. And you know how we're going to do that? We're going to buy them about a half size bigger, right? And then we say this to them. You'll grow into them. You'll grow into them. I remember I was talking about tough skins last week. That made a real impact on some of you. We're talking about tough skins. I remember my parents, I was growing when I got about eighth to ninth grade. In eighth grade, I was about 5'4". By the end of ninth grade, I was 6'1". And so I grew a lot. And I remember my parents at one point, like, listen, we're going to buy you jeans, and you're just going to roll them up. All right? We're going to buy them long. And just going to roll them up. And when you stop growing, we might hem them, all right? We might get to that point. Because they were tired of buying jeans. They were a whole new size. That's just the truth. Sometimes we're like that. Here's what I'm saying to you. Spiritually, there's some stuff right now, this peace and this patience. Here's my encouragement to you. You're going to grow into it. And you're going to have to be growing. Some of us, forgiveness is, ooh. Actually, all of us, forgiveness is not natural, but some of us even more so. Put it on, you'll grow into it. You'll learn the value of it and why you need it. So he says those things. So let's look at verse 16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. I want to show you this. Let me on the screen. The world transforms our spirit, heart, and voice. The word transforms our spirit, heart, and voice. And I see it all in that passage. This message of Jesus, this full, incredible gospel of who Jesus is. We're clothing ourselves with this. We're learning about it. We're growing in it. And we get all of this wisdom from it. Man, how many of you enjoyed our study last month through the book of Proverbs? And just all of this wisdom that you can get. And it's like, you know, I've found all this again. And now if you're online with us, we're walking through the book of Luke. Today we're in Luke chapter 3. We're just walking through this book of Luke, and there's so much richness in the Word. And as I dig in the Word, and I just let it speak to me. You see, the wisdom in the Word is so necessary and so good for us. And the work of the Word is not for you alone, but for everybody. Notice the whole of this verse. I get the Word, let this Word dwell in you, right? But to why? To teach and counsel, to instruct others. God's not giving you everything so you can hoard it. He's giving you what he's giving you so you can give it and you can share it. That some of you have rich, valuable lessons that you've learned in your life. And you're like, man, these things are so good. And give it to somebody else. Share it with somebody else. I remember, and by the way, when you learn to share it, as you share it, you learn to perfect it in your life. I believe I became a better shooter in basketball after college. That was terrible timing, I know. But I believe I became a better shooter because I had to start teaching young people that didn't know anything how to shoot a basketball. So I had to correct every bit of form. I had to make sure mine was right before I could teach it. And it's beautiful. As I began to teach it, I began to perfect it. And what we want to do is, well, once I perfect it, I'll start teaching it. No, man, as God teaches you stuff, start teaching it to other people and watch how God works that and perfects that in your life. And he perfects the way you want. Just as that shooting form or whatever it is for you becomes better as you teach it, the same thing spiritually, it becomes stronger as I teach it. And most people don't teach anybody else or disciple anybody else because they don't think they're good enough. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, become a perfect disciple so you can disciple others. He said, no, go disciple people. You're going to learn and you're going to grow. And it's going to develop as you go along. And then he says this interesting, because I said he transforms our spirit, he transforms our heart. But notice something else, he transforms our voice. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with a thankful heart. Now, he mentions these three different, the psalm, this pious song of scripture. Man, know the scriptures and let the scriptures begin to sing out of your heart. And for somebody that, for him that would have been referring, thinking back to the psalms of David and others, man, these would have been things that they would have sung in constantly. Let scripture be ever mindful in your heart. I loved Psalm 103 this morning as Patrick read that. I don't know why there's that one phrase, forget not all his benefits, that is just so powerful to me. And that's just a song that I can sing out. Hymns, these sacred songs. And the hero of these sacred songs, a sacred song back then, they would have had odes and everything else to people. And they would have odes to heroes. Do you know the hymns were sacred songs? They were odes to the hero who is God. And God, putting God as the hero of my song, is the hero of the one that I wanted to declare and I wanted to name. I wanted everybody to hear the everything that he has done. And so these hymns were devotion to God. And then spiritual songs, divinely inspired praise. Man, sometimes God just, you ever just been in a moment and you just have something you need to share and something you need to say and something you need to declare? And he said, we put all of these in this song. You know where singing starts? From your heart. Susan has taught voice lessons for many years. Both of us took voice in college. She was actually, that was part of her major. So Susan knows voice, so she could teach you technically how to sing. There's little tricks of helping you with your diaphragm, breathing through your diaphragm, singing from there, singing out the top of your head and not out of your throat. Some of that would make no sense to you right now, but she could teach you and develop you in that. Some of you are like, Pastor David, I'm a lost cause. But the technical part, but here's what she can't teach you, and here's what nobody can teach you, and that is to sing from your heart. And that's what he says, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. It is where it comes from and where it is going. It's from my heart to the Lord. And so today, I don't know where you are as far as singing. And I don't know where you are as far as declaring things out loud. I like to sing. As a matter of fact, I think part of us is in our humanity, we love music. Turn on music anyway. Turn on music in front of a little kid and watch that little kid just start dancing. I mean, there's just something about us that loves that. It just loves it. Oh man, let God work in you so richly that it has to spill out of you. It has to be expressed. It has to be expressed in your heart. I want to ask you this. This is just a side note, and I'm going to get to the last thing. Somebody asked me this week, and I thought it was really good. What song comes to your mind when you think of Jesus? I'm talking a specific song. What song comes to your mind when you think of Jesus? One of my favorite hymns, is Come Thou Fountain. And there's a line that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. There's so many other rich songs. I just want you to think about that. Maybe you can write that down. But what song comes to your mind when you think of God? Hey, can we take a side note just real quick? We're ahead of schedule, all right? Somebody want to tell me what song? I know I'm throwing this out there to you. Just a song. Could be a hymn, could be a praise song, could be anything. Take my life and let it be. Yeah. Come on, somebody else. The Great I Am. Yeah, that's a good one. He loves us. Yeah. I come to the garden alone. Yeah. What else? Come on. I've been redeemed. Isn't there a richness to those? I mean, what's the one that when you're alone and you need something from the Lord or God's blessed you, when you're just by yourself, you start singing? I didn't realize this. In 2007, I had surgery. Was it 2007? About 2007. I had a minor surgery. It wasn't a big deal, but I had to go under, and that's the only time I've ever been under at all in my life, anesthesia. And so... I did not realize it. Susan told me after the fact that I was singing, was it as well? I was singing it as well. Going, they were carrying me back. Why I was singing, I don't know. But there's something in us, right? There's something in us that needs to say, I need to communicate with God. And one of the beautiful ways we do it is through song. He changes us. He changes us. Let me give the last thing. Look at verse 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Last thing, our actions must be new. They must be. We must be different because they reflect Christ who changed us. I can't keep walking and doing the things I used to do because I am different. And because Christ has made a change in me, my actions have to be different. I can't keep doing things the way I used to do them because of the change. How transformational would it be if we lived our lives thinking every word we say, action we do, is how other people would see or think of Jesus? If every time I spoke, I realized I was speaking on behalf of Jesus. Everything I did was on behalf of Jesus. People, when they saw me say something, they heard me say something, they're like, Jesus would say that. When they watched me do something in the way I did it and maybe the energy I gave to it or however it may be, they're like, that's the way Jesus would live. Now, I want to, before I carry that further, I don't want you to see this as an oppressive burden. Because some are like, oh, no, now everybody's going to think I'm Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. And that's, by the way, that's where religion binds us sometimes. We get this idea that, you know, I'm going to let Jesus down constantly. No, all right. I want you to see it instead as an incredible privilege. I get to show people Jesus. I get to represent Jesus. So we have some shirts in the back, and by the way, they're just take one. They're free. There's some left over back there. I think you have to be a really small or an extra large. All right, you got to be one. You got to be somewhere. If you're in the middle, sorry. All right, but but on those shirts they have our church name. So when I were to go out in those shirts, so the night we had the youth one night, we gave some away, and one of Michael's friends, who doesn't normally come to youth, he just came that one night. Is that the only time Marcus has ever been? Yeah, so he came that one night, and he got a shirt. And so every time he wears the shirt, he's at Georgia Southern. He's at Georgia Southern. And every time he wears the shirt, he sends Michael a picture, got the church shirt on. And so my only desire for him is behave if you got that church shirt on, all right? Because when you walk out, it says Lighthouse Brunswick, right? And so now I walk out representing Lighthouse Brunswick. The thing is, I don't want to see that as an oppressive burden. Oh, no, I've got to be careful. No, it's not that. It's look at the opportunity I have. Look at the opportunity I have to represent Jesus every day. He wants me to represent him. That's incredible. That he's like, hey, David, I want people to see me and you. Go do it. Go do it. That's the privilege. We've taught things so much that we see it as like these oppressive burdens instead of going, no, this is great. So instead, I'm going to be forgiving because I get to forgive and be like, gee, I'm going to put these new clothes on, this new wardrobe, because I want people to see Jesus. I want to be patient because I want people to see Jesus. I want to have peace because I want people to see Jesus. I want to be loving, all of these things, because I get to represent Jesus. That's incredible. And so I want you to represent Jesus, and I want to represent Jesus, and we want to do that well. And so he's saying to this new church, listen. And he's about to get specific, and I know some of you read ahead to verse 18, and some of you ladies like, I'm not coming back next week. But the truth is, what you see in all of that he's about to list that's going to go into chapter 4 is privilege. And it's not the oppressive thing that we have made it. It's the privilege of what we get to do to represent Jesus. And that makes so much more sense now instead of, oh, let something else and somebody else beat you down again. No, no, no. Be the representative of Jesus in this world. So can we pray together? And I just want to piggyback on top of all that. And I'm just going to let somebody just play. It doesn't matter who, just come and play. I don't even think we're going to sing, so we're just going to play this, all right? So here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to piggyback on top of everything we've talked about today with Patrick praying for healing. I want you to see God wants to heal you because you get to be his representative and go tell your story. Tell the miracle of what he's done in your life. But in the same way as he's healed your body, in the same way that he has healed in those incredible ways, and in the same way I pray that he heals Kofi and takes this malaria from his body, I pray that we know the spiritual power that we have as well through Jesus, that we can be these compassionate, loving, peaceful, patient, forgiving people that he's called us to be. What a privilege. So I wanted you to leave here today with a song in your heart. And it may not, you may not know all the lyrics. I'm terrible about knowing lyrics. You may not know all the lyrics, but you know the melody is planted there by God. And you've got a song to sing. What a privilege. So, Lord, I ask that you cover us this morning. You cover us with your peace and your presence and your goodness. And I ask that we all grab hold of the fact that we are Jesus people. We are people who are not going out to shine our light like we're somebody, but we're going out to shine our light because our light is Jesus. And that there is hope in this world for everybody. And the reason I know there's hope is because I have hope. The reason I know there is joy because I have joy. The reason I know there's peace because I have peace. So put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God, and let many see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Oh, you alone, Jesus. You alone, Almighty God. We declare you. We declare you. You're sufficient, and you're far more than sufficient. You're above all that we ask and think. So to your name and your name alone, we give glory. We give praise because you are good. So let us leave not just inspired, not just enthused, but let us leave determined. Determined as we set our hearts and minds and face towards you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.